Appreciate the prayer. As I said earlier, please don't stop. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll look at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You hath he quickened. Well, that word quickened there means made alive, given life. Some people might read that and say, "Well, I'm not dead. I don't need to be made alive." Yes, we have natural life. But this quickening is from the quickening of the Spirit. Made alive, alive in that spiritual life within us. Being that born again. We need to have that, don't we? Before we can even think about seeking after God. "And you hath he quickened." Well, one's you. Who's the you? Well, we just don't have the time to read everything. So, in Ephesians chapter 1, and especially in verse 4, it says, "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The ones that he had chosen before the very foundation of this world. This is the you that he is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened." Well, obviously, the he here is God. Christ, the one who chose us before the very foundation of this world. And if we go further in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Made us accepted. You know, isn't that something that we like as human nature? We want to be accepted. You know, by other people, friends, family, whatever. We want to be accepted. We want to be included. Well, what better inclusion can we have than being adopted into the family of the Almighty God? There is none better. It says, "To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now read that again. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." I don't see anywhere in that sentence where I did something good enough for him to notice me. I don't see anything in there where I've done something for him to look upon me and choose me. Because earlier we read, according to as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It's his will. It's by his grace that I can hear his word. It's by his grace that I can read these words and think upon my Lord that chose me. Why? I don't know why. I don't know. But if we have that yearning within us, if we have that desire to seek after him, if we are convicted by our sins, if we feel that condemnation inside us, if we feel that yearning, we want to know, how can I be saved? That's one of the best evidence that we already are. But before we can have that, before we can feel that, brothers and sisters, we need to have that quickening of the Spirit. So back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Now we know in Ephesians chapter 1 he's told us that he has taken care of eternal salvation. That's already taken care of. That is set in stone. even better than stone, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better security that we have. That has been taken care of. But here, in this life, where we live, you know, when Peter would tell the ones on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Was he talking about eternal salvation? No, rather, he was talking about save yourselves from this untoward generation, this now, this life that we live now. But again, if we have had that quickening within us, you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Obviously, we have natural life, but our spiritual life at one time was dead. I can't name the time or the date and the place where I felt the new birth. I can't tell you. I can't pinpoint it. You know, some people, they may have that experience where they can just pinpoint when exactly when it happened. And, you know, if you can, that's great. I mean, that's wonderful. You know, the Apostle Paul, he could. Because he was struck down on the road to Damascus and the Lord revealed himself to him. That's when it was. Now, some of us may have had to have a Damascus experience. But some of us may have been quickened in our early age. You know, John the Baptist was quickened within the womb. You know, when Elizabeth met Mary, Mary came up and called and she spoke. He leapt for joy in his mother's womb. Now tell me where life begins. Well, obviously it begins there. Because the baby within the womb leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. So we don't know, sometimes we don't know what time or when this quickening happens, when the Lord enters into our heart and touches and makes alive. That's that quickening, make alive, bring forth that spiritual life within us. But we do know by reading this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Again, right where we read to the praise of in Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise and glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, I don't see anything where I had done something. Well, I couldn't do something. I was dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. You know, you can talk to a dead person all day long and they won't respond one bit. But the voice of the living God speaks, they'll respond. You know, I love that example about Lazarus. You know, Lazarus died and the Lord came. But did he come right away? No. 4 days. 4 days. That's dead. That is beyond any kind of medical ability. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And brothers and sisters, he came forth. Now, whether he came out hopping or if he floated out, I don't know. But we do read that they had to remove the grave clothes. So, the scripture doesn't tell us whether he hopped out, rolled out, floated out. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. The reason is, the point is, he came forth. The Son of the living God spoke and he responded. Made alive. You hath he quickened. There has to be some action on his part before I can even do anything on my part. Now, Christianity in a whole, the main majority of Christianity nowadays, you know, that's that big push, is you have to accept this. You have to do something. There's something for you to do. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I don't want to browbeat anybody. I don't want to be negative. You know, we're supposed to be preaching and teaching in love. But brethren, if you're under that mindset, if you go to bed at night worrying, sick, did I do enough good today? Have I done enough right? Or if you know somebody that you love dearly, but they have nothing of God in their life, they have no use for it, but you know they're a good person. And you know, you could see evidence in their life that they are a good person. And you go to bed just worried, sick, that they haven't made the right choice. Brothers and sisters, that's why the preaching of the gospel is the good news. It sets us free. It releases us from the bondage. Because we know that the God has to do the work first. And you hath He quickened. Now that quickening can happen in the womb, as we've heard already, or it can happen on the deathbed of a life that has been lived a very long time. It's up to Him. It's His decision when that happens. That's not up to me. He says, you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins. If we're dead in trespasses and sins. Real quick, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Dead in trespass and sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We see that dead heart. We see that dead condition. Dead in trespass and sins. He says, for by one man, Adam, being that first man, who sinned, and that plunged us all into that condition. For by one man, for wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for of all have sinned. Now that's the thing, you know. Some people get, they get fighting mad when you talk about those little babies. You know, they're sinners. They get fighting mad about that. Now let's just be honest. We're not saying they're sinners by practice. It's just what we are by nature. It's passed upon all men. That's a condition that we are in. And then we have the quickening. And the Lord speaks unto us, and we're made alive. Now, just because the Lord speaks to us or has that quickening, we have that new birth within us, and we can become that new creature. That doesn't mean you're going to know everything about the Bible, book, chapter, and verse. You're not going to know every single thing. Brother, that's why it's so important for us to come, for us to read, for us to seek after Him. Amen. That's why it's important for us to learn what we can, what we need to be doing. Because of this, and especially if we know what condition that we were in, brother, that's the evidence that we've been brought out of it. You know, He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. When you're through the new birth, that quickening, made alive, your eyes are like lifted up and you see. Like I said again, you're not going to know every single thing. I don't know everything about the Bible. And I never will. I think that's just pretty much impossible to know every single thing about it in one lifetime. But we see in that condition, for by one man sin entered into the world, it's passed upon all men for all that have sinned. And if we turn back to Romans chapter 3, Romans 3 verse 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None that doeth good. None that seeketh after God. Until the new birth. When we have that quickening, when we're made alive, that's when, brothers and sisters, that's when we can be seeking after God. That's how we know how to do good works. That's how we know how to do good things. Before that happens, we may not know how to do that. We don't have the ability to seek after God. And back in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He says, wearing in times past. Time past. That means if that quickening has happened, brothers and sisters, we don't need to go back. We need to stay away from it. Move forward. Because we're all in this condition. So in times past, we all walked according to the course of this world. You know, this world is not a friend of God. You know, this world, especially the devil, is going to try to get to us. And he does very often. I know he's on my case a lot. I can feel it. But there again, if the devil's on your case, maybe there's some good that you're doing. Because if you're not doing any good, if you're not walking after his way, if you're not walking after God's way, if you're not trying to get your act together, he'll not bother you. He's going to leave you alone. But in 1 Corinthians, let's see, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, here we see about the natural man. I taught you we had natural life, but we were dead in trespasses and sins. That quickening makes us alive, that spiritual life alive. But 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So that seems like a bad condition to be in, spiritually discerned. You know, the preaching, the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. But brethren, isn't it a blessing that when we have that quickening, the Spirit of God enters into our heart and we're made alive and we can see that we're not in that condition anymore. And we hear the preaching of the cross and we see where our salvation lies. And we see where our help comes from. And we see we have hope. There's hope. You know, if we just all read about the no, none, there's none that's good, no, not one. No one can seek after God. If that's all we had in the Bible, it would just be a very, you know, it'd be a troubling thing to read. You'd be like, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. It's like, well, I can't do any good, so what's the point? And this is when I love this, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein with he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. By grace we are saved. If we read in Ephesians chapter 1, according to him, he had chosen us in him before the very foundation of this world. Well, that just tells me that I didn't have anything to do with it. And you know, if you think about that long enough, thank God I didn't have anything to do with my own salvation. Because if I had something to do with it, I guarantee you I could find a way to mess it up. But it's not up to me. It was up to him before the foundation of the world. So in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved us." How much love was that? You know, one of the most well-known verses of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Now, remember I said earlier, this world is not a friend of God. So we need to clarify what world we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "According to he had chosen us before the foundation of the world." That world, the one he chose. It's not mentioned. He said, "According to he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." There's one world there, but the one that is chosen, that's his. He has chosen people. "For God so loved the world that he," what? "He gave." Gave his only begotten. So, while we're talking about love here, how much love is that? You know, I've used the analogy before, but, you know, I love y'all, but I'm not going to give Kendra up for anything. Just can't do it. The Father had so loved. How much love is that? So we read in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together." Now see, we've been talking about that quickening. Now, salvation is secure, chosen before the foundation of the world. He could have done that work and never told us about it. Never said a word about it. But he's quickened us together with Christ, giving us his word, sent his son to walk on this earth to give us the greatest example of how we need to live our lives. You talk about love and the love of securing the salvation, the love of sending his very own son to die for us, to pay that sin debt, and leave us with example on how to live. How's the best way to trek through this life? You know, I've heard so much, especially growing up, especially right before I graduated high school, some people were talking about, you know, it's like, well, you know, there's really just no roadmap to life, you know. You've got to go out there and make your own way, you know, fail, and sometimes, you know, get up and do what you can. I knew better. I didn't always follow it, and that's to my shame, but there's a better way. The worst thing we can do is try to go at it on our own. Try to go it alone. You know, like that little kid that's trying to ride a bicycle telling dad, "No, I got it. As soon as dad lets go, boom, on the ground. You know, eventually he'll learn how to ride that bike. Eventually he'll get his balance. Brothers and sisters, we're not that way in life. We need him. We need him every step of the way. We need his hand of protection. We need his hand of guidance. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Even when we were dead in sins, and dead in sins. Can't respond to him. Couldn't serve him, even if we wanted to. But we couldn't want to because we're dead. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved." You know, that's grace right there in itself. Just the fact of telling us, making us aware of this, allowing us to see it, calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light so we can walk in it. Again, aren't you thankful for that? That he'll do that for us. Again, that's the love showing forth the Father has for us. And the Christ would be willing to go to the cross. You know, that's the biggest thing right there. It's not that Christ just went to the cross, but he was willing to go. Willing to do it. "The greater love hath no man than he laid out his life for his friends." And that's exactly what he did. He laid down his own life. But to tell us about it, let us know about it. Because in that sense of being dead and trespassing sins, there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do myself. Because when we read in 1 Corinthians 2:14 about the spiritually discerned, we had no need for it. Over in John 6, John chapter 6, verse 44. Some of you may can just quote it by heart. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father, which had sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." says, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. I think the most accurate example I've ever heard of that drawing was the bucket and the well. You know, even if you've never used one, you can still understand. Somebody has to drop a bucket down in a well, and the well and the bucket fills up with water, you have to get it up. It's not going to come up on itself. You can call that water all you want to. It's not coming. You have to draw it. You have to pull it. You have to bring it to you. Brothers and sisters, that's how we are. We're dead in trespasses and sins until the Lord calls us and draws us. We'll never come to Him. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read again, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Aren't you thankful for that quickening? Aren't you thankful for that drawing? Because without that, we would not know Him. We would never know Him. I'm so thankful that we know Him. I'm so thankful for His Spirit that He grants unto us. So back in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, you know, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. We've read this. We know that He was giving this to the quickening of the Spirit. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift. It is a gift. That's the thing about a gift. If somebody gives you a gift, it's been given. Whether you accept it or not, right? It's been given. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. It's just we need to know. We need to be set free of this bondage. It's right here. Talking about it's for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You know, if anybody says, well, I was, you know, I'll do everything I can for the Lord and this and that, that's wonderful. Again, I'm not trying to be critical of anyone. If you have a love for God in your heart, then that's great. It's wonderful. To me, I've already seen the evidence of it. But it's for by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, that's how we are. You know, whether you like it or not, that's just how we are. If we had anything to do with it, we have a tendency to get puffed up about it. Say, well, I did something about that. You know, if somebody said, well, that was a good job. Yeah, I did that. That was me. Yeah, we have a tendency to do that. But that's why we need to know. For by grace you are saved. In verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by grace, not by works. So does that mean that all good works, we just need to throw them to the side, forget about it, you know? I can't do anything to work myself to heaven, so why even bother? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. So, we're dead and trespassing in sin. The quickening, the awakening, made alive. We can see again. We're given spiritual life. And we're His workmanship. See, that's the thing about the new creature that Paul would be talking about, the new creature. Anytime you have a creature, you have to have a creator. And the creator of all things created that new creature. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're called unto do good works. That's something we need to be doing. Before we started this morning, we talked about praying for one another. Did you know that praying for one another is a good work? That's one of the greatest ones we have. The ones that we can wield wherever we are. See, we may not always be able to go to somebody and hug their neck or shake their hand or whatever, but they could be millions of miles away. I know that's crazy on this world. But anyway, they could be so far away, but we can still have them on our mind and praying for them. Doesn't matter how far away they are, we can still say a prayer for them. Right. Now, I remember Mama talking about, you know, especially when us boys started to learn how to drive and everything, you know, we'd be going off, and she says, you know, it used to worry her sick that she couldn't do anything to protect us, keep us safe. But then she was like, I had to come to the realization that I can't keep him safe across the road, much less wherever he is. But the God in heaven can keep us safe, can watch over us no matter where we are. Amen. And again, aren't you thankful that we know about this? Absolutely. Aren't you thankful that we know him? We have his word. We can take comfort in knowing that. Yes. That's one of the things, especially when I found out I was going to be a father. You know, at first, you know, you're like, yay, excited and great. But in your mind, in the back of your mind, you're probably screaming, what am I supposed to do? But take heart in the knowing that the same God that watched out for me, all the stupidness that I've done in my life, all the foolish things that I have done, he watched out for me. He'll be there for her.
Absolutely.
But again, we would never know about this unless he had told us about it, unless he's quickened us, made us alive. Our spiritual eyes are open so we can see this. So therefore, this preaching of the cross is no more foolishness because, brothers and sisters, we can receive it with open arms. We know where our help comes from. We know where our strength comes from. He's made us alive. So now that we're alive, now that we're eyes open, what do we need to do? Well, verse 9 says, not of works lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We need to be walking in them. So, before ordained that we should walk in them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. See that calling? We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been made alive. We're created unto do good works. Now, it's not the works. We've already established the fact that we're not trying to work ourselves to heaven. That's one of the things. We're just supposed to be doing the good works. You know, if we get to the point where we have done every single thing, kept every single commandment to a jot and a tittle, done everything right, and helped every single person that came by our way, still, all we can say is, I'm an unprofitable servant. Amen. Because I've only done what I've been told to do. Amen. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to be working. We need to be doing good works, praying for one another. Especially of the household of faith. You know, this church building that we have, that's a nice building, but the church is the ones that are sitting here listening, the ones that come and sing the songs and praise unto God. That's the church. Brothers and sisters, it's made up of sinners. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. That's why we need to come together. That's why we need to be showing forth that love to one another. You know, if you ever need a summary of the commandments, you know, there was a man that asked Jesus one time, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That is the first and great commandment. But the second is like unto it. I should love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love one another. Brothers and sisters, without Him, without that quickening, without the spiritual life being made alive within us, without that new creature, brothers and sisters, we would not want to love God, nor would we have love one to another. But that's what we need to be doing. We're created unto good works. We need to be doing what we can. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul will say, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, what are we called to do? We're called to do good works. We're called to love one another, showing forth that love. The love of God is just innumerable. You can't measure it. There's no way you could ever measure it. But what did he say? Having love one to another, that's how we know that we're his disciples. Having love one to another, showing forth that love. God has shown so much to us. Shouldn't we show some? And how do we love God? You know, he's told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if we're keeping his commandments, we're showing forth that love to him. We're saying, I love you, Lord. But again, it all comes down to how do we know God? How do we know to love him? How do we know to seek after him? How do we know to do any of this? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Action had to happen first. I had to be made alive. I had to see. I had to be born again. There's something has to happen first before I even have the want to seek after him. You know, sometimes it's hard to just jump right in the middle of something, especially when the very first verse starts with an and. You know, we had to go back and first and try to read some, like I said. But I said, you know, we don't have all the time in the world. This is something for us to do. We just need to be reading. You know, I only have a certain amount of time that I can bring forth this. Or when any minister is up in front of you, he's only got a certain amount of time to try to give as much as you can. And it's hard for us to just soak in every single thing and retain everything. But that's one of the reasons we need to have this word readily available, which in this day and age, it is. It is very available to us. And we need to avail ourselves to it. You know, reading the word, that's another good work. We need to be reading his word. I told you before, it's the best example we have. It's the best way to know how to live in this life. So again, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. We know that in the condition that we were in before the quickening, we're in the darkness, wandering around, not knowing what to go, not knowing where to go, not knowing how to go, not knowing who God is, not even caring. But then, when that quickening, when His Spirit enters into our heart, we can see, open our eyes, and we can see. Brothers and sisters, that's when we want to follow after Him. And we should follow after Him. We're created unto good works, so we need to be walking in them, doing what we can. And if you want to know what some of the good works you can do, like we started over in Ephesians 4, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation worthy you call, you just keep reading. How we're supposed to act to one another. The new life in Christ. That's the little title it has up in my Bible, The New Life in Christ. Well, that quickening spirit, we have new life. It's given unto us. So, Paul would say, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you call with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. It just keeps going and going and going. You know, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of his gift of Christ. Now, we're going to be getting on to something else if I keep on going, but the new life that is in Christ, that quickening that happens and giving us, opening our eyes so we can see and created unto him to do good works. Brothers and sisters, what's the thing about the preaching of the gospel? We need it. We need the gospel. We need to read the Bible. We need to read his word. He's given us new life. Let's not squander that new life. Let's not be lazy about this new life. Let's do what we can, especially in the household of faith. What can I do in my church? What can I do in my community? What can I do in my family? You know, families that are faith-oriented, stronger in the Word, learning after the Word. Brothers and sisters, those are families. Those are tight-knit families. They're stronger. They may be going through just terrible times, but the ones who are strong in faith can weather storms better because they know where their strength is. And if we're going through tough times, brothers and sisters, we need to know the Word. We need to use this new spiritual life and seek after the one who is able to help us through it. We need His Word. We need Him. We have that song in our hymnal, I need Thee every hour. We do. We need Him every hour. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but He can speak to us just as plainly through His Word. If we ever are in a situation where we're doubting, fearing, not knowing which way to turn, we can always turn to Him. We can always turn to His Word for guidance. And aren't you thankful that we have the knowledge of Him? That He has given us the knowledge of Him. He has given us new life in Christ. Because I said earlier, He could have saved us, eternally saved us, done all these wonderful works, and never told us about it. But because He's told us about it, because we have this new life in Christ, let's try to live it the best way we can. The best way we can live is to learn about Him. We have another song in our hymnal, More About Jesus. Learning more about Him, the one who came and saved us, the one who has given His Spirit so we can make alive. So again, in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Don't we love the one who has done this? Because we're given new life, new spiritual life, where eyes are open. Brothers and sisters, we need to be doing what we can to showing forth that love. The great love that He has showed before us. The benefits that we receive from His bountiful hand. The blessings that are just raining down upon us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be doing what we can to walk worthy to be called of this number. Amen. We need to be doing what we can. Showing forth, working good works, doing good works. Working in His kingdom, pressing into the kingdom, trying to stay as much as we can as close to Him. And the closer we are to one another, the more love that we're showing forth to one another, the closer we are to Him. So remember, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead, but we were made alive in Christ. Not only eternity, we'll have eternity will be our home, but brothers and sisters, here on earth, while we're making our way through this dark world, He's made us alive, showed us who He is. We can read more about Him, and we can seek after Him. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm thankful that He has blessed me to see. Blessed me to see this. Blessed me with His Word. It's been a great comfort and a great help in my life. And we need to be following after Him. So take that great comfort. Take the peace that God gives us. You know, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke is easy, and His burden is light." Why is His burden light? Because He's taken it. He's taken the weight. And especially with this new life, that we can see that He's taken it upon Himself. Brothers and sisters, we need to be following after Him. That's what we need to be doing. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Thanks be unto God that He has done this. Thanks be unto God He has showed us this. Thanks be unto God that He has blessed us to see this. So I can walk worthy of the vocation where I'm called. Where I can try to do good works. Try to stay on the straight and narrow, if you will. Try to do the best I can. But I'm human. I falter. I fail constantly. But He's still there. I can say, "Please forgive me." You know, He has forgiven all sins. We've read over in Ephesians chapter 1, He has forgiven it all. Eternally secure. But in our life here, we falter and fall. Not everlastingly, but sometimes we land flat on our face. But aren't you thankful that we know that we have a God who cares and has opened our eyes. So this new life in Christ, let's live it to the fullest. Let's live it the best we can by following after Him. May the Lord bless you.